Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah, chapter 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to him, having in his hand a burning coal, and he had with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I have heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and whom will I go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Since you are eager to manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving, when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words in my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil. But I am in your thinking. Be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. He signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I begin today's message, just an announcement. We will have the installation of officers today because somebody last week forgot. So it's going to take place right after the offertory. So if I forget, Kevin, just start jumping up and down, all right? All right, the text for today's message was the gospel lesson. The story that this guy from Ohio went to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he wanted to go ice fishing, because he knew Michigan, of course, is just the greatest place ever for fishing. So he got there, and he sets his little three-legged stool down, and he sits down in the stool, gets the ice auger out. That's that big drill thingy. And he puts it to the ice. He's about to start. And he hears, "You will not catch fish here." Okay. Smells of coffee. It's fine. So he moves a little further over, puts his stool down, sits down, puts the ice auger down. He's about to start. And he hears again this booming voice, "You will not catch fish here." Moves to the third spot. Same thing. Puts the ice auger down. "You will not catch fish here." He thought, okay, what did I hear in church last week? When God calls, "Lord, speak and your servant will listen." The voice came back, "I am not God. I am the manager of the hockey rink." That actually does connect to the message because we're going to talk about God's calling. All of us are part of the ministry of this church. And certainly I am not on the level of a Billy Graham. The only Graham I know is a cracker. We're going to let that one fly. All right. As I said, we're all part of this, the ministry of this church. We're all sort of a link in the chain to get the purpose of the church accomplished. And yes, that is by inviting or bringing other people. Some people have a personal story on how God has touched their lives. It's by teaching and praying, and I don't want to underestimate the value of praying. That is where the foundation of everything has got to start with the church, is praying that God's will is done. Part of that link to accomplish this purpose is Children's Church, VBS, and the other programs that churches have. I want to call this sort of the ministry of availability, because you have to be able to be available to do it. See, before God can use a person for his purpose, they actually have to be available. Look at Samuel back in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and because he answered, "Here I am," God was able to use him. Or how about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Oh, there had to have been thousands of virgins in Galilee, and maybe even hundreds in the town of Nazareth itself. But Mary is the one that goes down in history as a mother of Christ. And notice what she said when the angel told her of this thing to happen. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." In other words, "Lord, I'm available for what you need me to do." Even looking at Jesus' earthly ministry, he always stayed focused on the target. He knew right from the very beginning where he was going. He was always available to do his Father's work. And we looked at a couple of weeks ago when Jesus goes into the temple at age 12, and Mary and Joseph find him after 3 days of trying to search for him in the city. And the young Jesus tells them, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" The disciples themselves made themselves available to God. Notice how that gospel lesson ends. Amazing catch of fish. They dropped everything and followed Jesus. Then, of course, you got good old St. Paul. St. Paul, who was an efficient killing machine of Christians, And he was also good at putting them into prison. Now, just something about the prison back then. No, they didn't provide you a lawyer and entertainment and education and all this stuff. Prison might have been a room this size, and they chained you to the wall. Something else the prisons didn't do back then. You did not get your three hot meals a day, or as I say, hots and cots. Nope. Your family had to bring it to you. You know, there's actually an advantage to that system. So you ate if your family brought it. If they didn't bring it, you didn't eat. Same thing with clothes, blankets, and everything else. There is an advantage to this. Imagine little Jacob. Jacob is stealing stuff out of the marketplace, and Dad finds out. Dad realizes, by the way, there's no child. Oh, you're too young to go to jail. No, Jacob would go to jail. And the father would realize he's financially responsible. Guess what he's going to do when he gets little Jacob home? Exactly. I know we can't do that anymore, but sometimes. Anyway, that's what Paul was putting people into. When he started putting the early Christians into prisons, that was what he was putting them into, and it was burdening the entire Christian community in that area. Paul was also a blasphemer. And Paul talks about in his epistles, basically, how efficient he really was of his job. But how does he respond to Christ's call? When Christ stopped him on that road to Damascus, how did he reply? It says, and he was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He made himself available to God. Now we might say, guess what? I am not a Samuel. Mary. Certainly not like Jesus in many ways. I'm not like the disciples or Paul. Do you ever feel insufficient for the work of the church? Oh, yeah. I felt that. Pastor who came to me after church one day, he said to me, he goes, you know, I've heard you in Bible study, blah, blah, blah. I really think you should consider the ministry. And I laughed at him and walked away. He came to my house a week later, just showed up. He says, I want to talk to you about the ministry. And I'll tell you, pretty emphatically, I told him no, and I thought he had other calls he needed to make. Yeah, threw my pastor out of the house. I was young and dumb. He came back again and said, consider going into the ministry. And I said, how many times I got to say no? He says, as long as it ends with yes. He says, give it a year. I said, oh, but Pastor, I'm terrible at languages. My father, who doesn't need to tell all those stories, can tell you just how bad I was in German. I was terrible. I was not a great high school student. How am I going to handle that? He says, I'll make you a deal. Go 1 year. If you don't like it, you can leave. Well, guess who got an 88 in Hebrew? Foreign language, different letters, supposed to be the harder of the two to learn, 88. Now, granted, Greek was a little lower, but still in that B zone. Here's a guy who couldn't possibly read German or anything else. It made no sense to me. I jokingly say when my cat hacked a fur ball, I understood the German. God can use me. He can use anybody. Look in the Gospels. One point he took a little boy who had two basic sardines and five small loaves of bread, and he fed the entire people with what just a little boy had. Go to the end of this lesson. When Jesus is calling the disciples, it is to preach the salvation of souls to all people. Just prior to this lesson, Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had cast out demons. And he went to a remote place to relax, and guess what happens? The crowds were there too. Now he's on the Sea of Galilee, right at the shoreline, and the people came. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to hear the word of God. Wow, you realize what a condemnation that is of the whole synagogue system at that point? They weren't getting spiritually fed in the synagogues. They wanted to hear this traveling preacher. Romans 10:17 says, so Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we invite people to Bible studies, to church. As I told the kids, inviting their friends to Sunday school. People hear the word of God, and that's how God then works faith in them. So how does God get the word out to other people? People are available to do it. People were thirsty for the word. They would be willing to follow this traveling preacher where he went so they could hear him. And they press him right up to the shore. And he gets into Peter's boat. He had to preach from a boat. I always thought that'd be cool, but then I realized I don't like boats. So I kind of would be doomed. Yeah, I don't like planes either. So guess who's not going to Hawaii? Yeah. All right. So, but Jesus uses what's available. A boat, a fishing boat. And it's not one of these, 35-foot yachts with the little radars going. I like the depth finder for fish. Now see me, I would go, Captain, we've got fish 30 feet down. Hit the depth charges. That's how rednecks go fishing. You light something, throw it in the water, boom, and they all come up. This is not that. It's a wooden boat. Guess what a wooden boat's going to smell like after you've been catching fish in it for years? Ew! It smell worse than my cat's wet food. But did Jesus complain and say, no, I want a better boat, I want a better place to preach from, I've got to have that 35-foot yacht to preach from. I'm not going to take some stinky little fishing boat. No, he used what was available. And he didn't take the boat from Simon Peter. And that is important because Jesus never forces people to comply to him. He never forces them. Says, in fact, he wants all to be saved, and he uses whatever is available to accomplish those means. And then Jesus tells Peter, take your boats out further. Pushing one step further. All right, Peter, trust me at this point. Go out there, Peter. That's how God also uses us. He pushes us always to the next level of our comfort. And it's all part of that process, that link to get his purpose done. So what's the key? Being available. Listen to his leading. And for me, that finally took me agreeing to a pastor that I would go for 1 year. Which, by the way, how do you think I got through that Greek and Hebrew? Was that my own incredible brilliance? In fact, I had a teacher in high school that said if I became a teacher, she'd quit immediately. Listen to his leading. I was getting the message from this pastor, but I wasn't listening. Finally, we have to listen to what he says. And if you want to put it this way, we got to let him enter the boat. In other words, we got to let him use us as he sees fit. And as a Christian, he is the most important. The only thing that matters to anyone in this world is a relationship with him. Talk about in morning Bible study. It doesn't matter how many this, that, or the other thing I have. None of that means anything in comparison to him. And it's not when he calls us for service. And I'm not talking only as clergy, but serving in the congregation. It's not when I'm available. We make ourselves available for his work. Jesus says, let down your nets for a catch. Fish do not jump into a boat. I know, they got the YouTube videos where they show a fish jumping, and that is a stupid fish. I got an exception. I saw a fish jump in a boat. All right, you want to feed your family for a month by only keeping the number? I'll put you in a lake full of fish. Chock full of fish. And you can only keep the ones that jump in your boat. You imagine going home to feed the family and tell the wife, no, dear, we're not eating tonight because no fish jumped in my boat. In other words, it takes work. He uses that analogy of fish in the sea. These are the lost ones that have to be brought in. Speaking of ones who need to be brought in, the young man who plays Harry Potter in all those cheesy computer-generated movies, what was his name, Radcliffe? Now, Ben and I are disagreeing, but the newspaper article I saw said he was 21. Get this for a quote. I've always been an agnostic, but I lean towards atheism. He says, I don't believe there is a God. But if I die and there is a God and the afterlife, I will be pleasantly surprised. Wow. I mean, besides just poking fun at, young man, what are you saying? Pleasantly surprised? No. A young man who needs the gospel of Christ. We're all part of that chain to get his purpose done. And sometimes it's in great ways or small ways. Look at the woman who poured the perfume on Jesus. The disciples got mad. You wasted this. Jesus says she's done all that she could. And we should never complain that about the things we can't do. All right? Like me complaining about not being able to sing. Do you think that's going to help? Do you know how over the years how many people have tried to teach me to clap in rhythm? Which is pretty good for a boy come out of Motown. All right? Maybe I or you don't have the writing style of the Christian author Max Lucado. So we say, well, I can't do anything then. Well, that'd be like a high school quarterback saying, I'm not going to play this year because I am not Tom Brady. Well, let's talk about a good quarterback, Drew Brees, who should have been in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to play because I can't be like Drew Brees. Well, guess what? Sometimes we're not. And is that okay? Oh, good. I'm glad someone is listening out there. And see, that leads into what Satan uses his weapon. His weapon is doubt. You're not as good as. What happens if you fail? And he tells Peter to launch the boat out into the deeper water. Peter has been fishing. Peter and the others have been fishing all night and they caught nothing. Well, keep in mind that fish generally come near the surface at night. That's why we men go fishing first thing in the morning. Because the fish are nearer to the top. Later in the day, they go deep down, especially using nets. You want them at the top. So during the prime time of fishing, Peter and the boys are out there and they catch nothing. But the text says, nevertheless, they went. Everything logically told them, if you didn't catch them at night, you're sure not going to catch them now. But they do it because Christ commands it. The way our translation has it is Jesus says, cast out your nets, and they cast out their nets. In actuality, they cast out their net, singular. Why do you think it broke? See, Peter held back just a little bit. Well, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to put in everything. And how many times when we go to witness to somebody, invite somebody, we don't want to give it our full effort or be persistent because we don't want to risk failure. And I love it. The disciples were astonished at the number of fish they caught. Another place when they caught fish, it's actually numbered, what, 127? See, that way the boys can go home to their wives and lie about how many they really caught. They were astonished because it wasn't their work, it was God's. There was no logical reason why they would catch that many that time of the day. And Peter is humbled. His success wasn't based on what he did or Peter's great, yes, at this water right here, it's got the right temperature and the right color and all the right waves. All right, no, it wasn't Peter doing any of that. He just said, Jesus had cast out your nets, and he does so. And you know what? We're not worthy for his call to use us. See, he uses to accomplish his great purposes with what the world would say, you can't do it with them. Good old Peter from this story, he goes on to Pentecost where 3,000 were baptized in one day. Andrew ends up going into Asia to preach the gospel. Bartholomew went to India. Simon the Zealot went to Africa with the gospels, and they became fishers of men. And they learned some valuable lessons from that vote that we can take with us today. When Jesus speaks, listen. Resistance is futile. Because he's going to be persistent and call and call. Lead where the Lord calls you to go. And give what the Lord gives you. In other words, make yourself available to him for his service. So may the peace of God, which is above all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And we continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of his church.